the X-Wing Rise. Yo, why you being a
player hater? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Angry Dorks Podcast. That's my angry dork yell. How's it going, guys? We got Ed Greer.
I'm doing pretty good. It's Ed Greer.
Pretty angry.
We got Matt Blackwood.
Yeah, considerably angry.
I believe Clee will show up at some point.
Yeah, she had to catch a kizab over here.
Okay.
So she's going to be angry.
Yeah, she's going to be pissed as fuck. I just, like, out of nowhere asked her to come, so she's going to be like, you dick, you cost me money. So this is what's going on. Maybe we should we wait till Clee gets here to gang up on Ed about magic?
I think that would be advisable.
I think that's fair.
She doesn't read,
Read Avengers versus X-Men. So that's what we're going to talk about right now. The run of Avengers versus X-Men is over. I guess, Uncanny Avengers just came out. But we're going to talk about the ending of Avengers versus X-Men. I guess that's number 12, right?
So, total spoiler alert. If you really don't want to know what happens, go fix yourself a snack or something. Come back in 5 minutes. It's not going to take a hell of a long time for us to diss the shit out of this.
Yeah. It's the whole run is basically pointless, honestly. Like, I mean, all that happened is they got the mutants back. And when it comes down to it, that could have happened at the beginning.
It was an extraordinarily convoluted story to get the mutants back. It was basically a huge fucking Rube Goldberg because Bendis is going to X-Men and he wants all the mutants back for the X-Men.
Yeah.
Well, all the mutants back meaning all the people who lost their powers in M-Day.
Yeah, they were not clear on that, whether it was a bunch of new mutants or it was specifically the people who had lost their powers. But all we know is that the mutant community has gone from 198 in quotation marks to back up to thousands and thousands across the world.
Oh, man. 198 mutants really seemed kind of cool because it seemed
I wish it had been like, you know what? The thing is, like, them saying 198 was so fucking cool, and then all the time they kept fudging that number and going like, oh, no, that's just something that somebody said because it was, like, the first initial count. And so that's not actually what it was.
Right.
But I would have loved it if that's what it actually was.
Yeah, 198.
And they treated it like fucking Battlestar Galactica where it was like somebody died and everybody was like,
down to 197.
You know?
Right.
Well, and also because then it becomes...
like Caliban dies and it's a big fucking deal now because now it means less mutants.
Right.
Exactly.
Before, it would have just meant one less white dude.
And then they're all... and then, you know, a lot of times when the mutants are, like, fighting the regular humans for, you know, ostracizing them or whatever, you almost feel like, well, there's so many of you and you're all so powerful. It's like... it makes sense.
One mutant could take, like, a few hundred regular people.
Exactly. Right. So it's
the war of the... I understand why they pulled back on it.
Yeah.
And said, you know, like, hey, why doesn't Magneto win now? You know?
Yeah. Right. Well, and I also think it makes each, as you said, each mutant is more important.
Yeah, and it makes them... and it makes your standing up for your race, you know, your now almost extinct race, like, make even more sense than it was before.
And it could motivate more zealot type of mutants to be like, dude, there's 198 of us. They keep fucking around. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, now we got to really stand up for ourselves.
Now that it's thousands and thousands, it's just like, okay, it seems like... it's almost like white people in this country right now with Barack Obama being president and the economy. They just go, oh, man, we're losing.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a minority of people who aren't as fucked as they were.
Yep.
Sorry, fuckface.
Yeah, exactly. You know
what I mean? But now it seems like, it seems like people have an actual gripe. There's thousands of these damn things flying around, shitting radiation on our Twinkies and blah, blah, blah.
I like when both sides... I've always enjoyed Magneto as a villain because I like when both sides have a fucking argument.
Yeah.
I hate the character that's, I'm going to take over the world, because it's like, why do you want to take over the world? What are you going to do with the fucking world?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, what are you going to do with it all? Now, you give me a zealot, you give me somebody that says, I'm going to fix the world, then you got somebody. Then you're talking about somebody. Stryker, Reverend Stryker was a great fucking villain for that reason. He was, oh, no, these mutants are a plague, they're from the devil, I'm going to do God's work and get rid of them. That was the shit.
Yeah, right. It makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but it makes sense. It's like, it makes a good story.
I
feel like this last story, Avengers versus X-Men, was not a good story because...
okay,
Because in the end, Scarlet Witch could have done it by herself.
I even liked House of M. I even liked how they got rid of the mutants, because they got rid of the mutants using their own device. Yeah. They got rid of the mutants with, they said, hey, one mutant was born who was so fucking powerful, she was able to get rid of all of their powers, which,
and still keep her own.
Sweet. Yeah. They never really explained why some of them kept them. Yeah. I wish there had been some, at least some good guesses.
Or some story reason. You know what I mean?
Like, I will say this about it. I like the way the art looked on most of the books. I enjoyed some of the art for the most part.
Oh, from the
for the run.
Well, you know, yeah. You know, the art's going to be good. The art is always going to be good on these event books.
That's true.
And they're going to take away all the good artists. Anytime there's a good artist on a little book that's not, you know, that's kind of on the borderline, but it's written really well, they always have problems with artists, and those problems with artists make it shakier, so it becomes a vicious circle, you know, where you know, Miss Marvel, it's kind of teetering on the bubble of whether it should be picked up or not, but you know what, that artist is really fucking good, let's take that artist and put them on this good book and give them a shitty artist because they're on the bubble. So what happens? They go from being on the top of the bubble to being on the bottom of the bubble because now the art sucks.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I think also it's just one of these things where the one thing DC has right is they will put their best people on the shittiest books. Like Aquaman is selling like a motherfucker because Ivan Reyes, I think is his name, that dude is amazing.
That guy's the shit.
He's like a Brian Hitch and Alan Davis and somebody else that draws really well and really great anatomy and really good layouts, just mad a baby.
Also, really super nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You met him?
Yeah. Met him at Wizard World Chicago in 2008.
Well, that's
cool. Super nice guy.
That's good to know that. Because he's good enough to be a dick.
Exactly.
Doesn't it seem like that guys who are great at shit are always assholes?
Yeah, it's like Michael Jordan. Like, if somebody said Michael Jordan pisses in baby eyes, I'd be like, so?
He dunked from the three-point line, bitches. Maybe not the three-point line, but it seemed like it sometimes.
You got Chicago mothers just holding up their babies going, pissing mine eyes, pissing mine eyes.
It's sterile.
And possibly magical.
Blag.
Okay. Obviously, the big gripe about AVX is it's fucking retarded that they just kept fighting.
Yeah.
Like all of their motivations just seemed so editorially driven. Well, it was hey, what are you doing here? You know what I'm doing here. Well, if you do this, I'll fight you. Well, I'll fight you, too. It's like, you guys have known each other for fucking years.
All of a sudden, you're just going to start punching each other in the face.
You've dealt with superhero interaction before. Like, are you seriously all going to just fight? And then you got, like, one character, like, they had, like, a woman character going on in every issue, basically going, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't fight. And they go, no, fuck that. We're going to fight.
We're dudes, yeah. Let's punch each other.
It's like, not a single person stopped and said, hey, hold on, let's work this out.
Yeah, hold on. I've known this guy for 22 continuity years.
But I'm still going to punch him in the face when he's like, we should talk.
Dude, I know. Like,
and here's that's the actually biggest problem I have with the entire run of series is because it literally could have been settled by them sitting down and saying, hey, we want to make sure we get the mutants back. How can we do that? Well, you know, we have a character whose power is so great that she took away the mutants, and now we have this other one can do the Phoenix Force, so maybe if we just let them get together, they can bring it back.
Right, because they have a common goal.
Yeah.
They both want everybody to be safe, and they want for the mutants to be healthy.
Exactly.
You know, they're not against there being mutants. Now, if that had been a different situation, if that had been an Avengers Force that was like, hey, guys, it's better if there aren't mutants. You know what I mean? Like if it had been Iron Man coming out and going like, guys, I don't know if you know, I've looked at the numbers on this thing. I'm a futurist and I've looked at the numbers on this thing and we're a lot safer without these mutants. So let's not let them repopulate.
Yeah, and then
that would have been the shit.
Yeah,
that would have been like, then there's a fight. Yeah, then you've got like somebody with an argument.
Yeah. And then somebody else could say, Iron Man, you're always doing shit like this, man. You're always putting limits on stuff or trying to put rules on stuff, man. Didn't you learn from last time? Fuck no. Da, 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 da. And there could have been actual.
And then you have some of the Avengers on the team with the X-Men.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this whole uncanny Avengers, can we stop this shit? Can we fucking, it'd be like a Fantastic Four joined the Power Pack, who joined the fucking Evil Mutants, who joined the, why are all these groups joining up? It's so
the
fucking,
Fantastic Pack of Evil Four.
It's so stupid. The X-Men universe is so cool because they deal with mutant issues. They deal with mutant issues and how mutant issues affect the world. And occasionally, they will, as a good faith gesture, join certain other teams to go ahead and put forth the image that mutants aren't all bad.
How about
that? Should be it.
How about this ballsy-ass thing? How about you take people who have superheroes, superpowers, right? You take Cap, you take all these guys, and you deal with the issues that are actually happening. How would they handle Syria? How would they handle, like, you know, any place where there's a tyrant killing, you know, all of the population of, I mean, I know that's less, that's like more depressing, but I still think it would be interesting to put, because that's the whole point is like, we all wonder, like, what would we do if we had superpowers? Because I've said that before, my brain in politics, sometimes I go, what would Superman do? But there's the problem. On sometimes he wants to save everybody. So he would probably move like a whole river so that people could have like grow food in that area, right? But at the same time, if there was a bad guy doing bad shit, he would go in there and knock the shit out of him. And we can't always do that, so that's what would be interesting.
But would he, really?
Superman?
Could he? Yeah. Would he? Not necessarily. He tends to be very, very lawful. He tends to be lawful good.
Batman would probably go in there.
Well, Batman's lawful, too. He's just got a different law.
Yeah, but only inside of Gotham, generally. But that's what I mean. Like, I would love to see them do that sort of thing.
Is that Warlord invading crops and stuff like that in Gotham?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
Is he digging
really?
For,
no,
is he
then
digging
I don't
for
give a shit.
Blood diamonds in Gotham? Because if that's in Gotham, then yeah, Batman's going to do something about it.
I said this on another podcast. Retread. I was on the Comics on Comics podcast at the LA Podcast Festival this year, which we will have our own booth there next year, Ron.
And
basically, I was saying that the reason why superheroes, and this is a straight no prize. Anybody who's read Marvel forever knows what a no prize is. It's just an explanation for a phenomenon that really, you know, is kind of whatever.
Something that seems like a continuity error. And this is why this works.
This is why this works. And the reason why Batman and Superman don't stop fucking Idi Amin and shit like that is their world is so fantastic and full of so much larger, extrastellar, extragalactic, extradimensional.
They're saving universes. Threats.
They're saving the universe. They're saving all kind of shit, which is why Superman honestly doesn't have time to stop all the rapes in Syria because Darkseid is coming through a boom tube or the world is cracking in half or all this jazz. And honestly, if they were to dedicate themselves to worldly problems, those worldly problems would be solved. So your average person in Metropolis would have a fucking jetpack and a time machine watch and everything would be fucking awesome.
It would
you know
be.
What I mean? So it wouldn't be that same
thing. They have to have universal problems or huge world-threatening problems. That's
we'll
true.
We'll do this another time, but that's why my Justice League pitch all takes place in one 24-hour period. It's all mission all the time. There is no downtime. You never see Bruce Wayne. You never see Clark Kent. You never see Barry Allen. You just see the fucking, you see Superman and Batman and the Flash. You know what I mean? You never see that shit.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's honestly how it would have to be. And like, I went to see the Judge Dredd movie and what was really dope about it, I mean, there are flaws to it. It is kind of ridiculous and it's weird and stuff. But honestly, the cool thing about it is they don't spend a bunch of time going, this is Mega City 1. Things are bad. If you fucking
right
don't.
Into
yeah.
Spot.
Yeah. If you yeah. don't. If
oh,
you,
Klee's
you
here, by the way. So oh, lovely.
Yeah, Klee Wiggins is here. Basically, they just jump right into it. Mega City 1 is super fucked. There's a big giant building. Bad shit is going down. They respond to a call. This is first chick's day at work. Go. And at the end of the movie, it's her first day of work, and she's done all this adventure.
And what's happening? That movie is getting fucking rave reviews. Action movies do not get a lot of times.
Right.
I liked it. It does have some flaws. But the ridiculousness of it, the ridiculous graphic violence, the fact that it just jumps right into the the fact that it jumps right into the story with very little exposition whatsoever.
Are you guys hearing her in the headphones?
I'm hearing her.
You have to press your button, I think.
My button is pressed.
Well,
mic is on.
Well,
now it's louder.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Hear me now?
Weird.
Yes. All right. What I was saying, I don't know for those who didn't hear me, that the ridiculous graphic violence of it, the fact that it jumps right into the plot with very little exposition, all that stuff is like, it's super odd. That's my favorite because I'm a huge 80s movie action fan. Like, I love 80s action movies, and most of them jump right into their plots with little to no exposition whatsoever.
Here's the thing.
That's what I loved about
this is for all the writers out there. this is a very, very good razor for you. You write your whole screenplay, and then...
They're saying there's no video. Can you hear me doing that?
Oh, no video?
There's no video on Ustream.
People can't see us being dorks.
Mandy says that she can't watch us like creepers.
Well, she's just making sure Matt's here. It's a disembodied voice.
She doesn't look at the screen. She looks at the video game screen while she listens to the podcast.
Okay, cool. There's, said there's, by the way, people who are trying to watch us look so sexy, which I'm sure you're all doing because we're all the hottest people on the planet.
Well, hey, if they can't see us, we should take off all our clothes, though, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty
all right,
sure.
Let's do that. All right.
Blackwood first.
All right, so...
Clean, go first.
Three-way gangbang.
Gangbang.
What were we talking about before that?
Gangbangs.
Gangbangs.
No, okay, wait. Writing. We veered off into the...
Oh, yeah, okay. So this razor, if you can chop off, if you can just start 5 pages in and just start reading and you still understand exactly what's going on, chop off the first 5 pages.
Yep.
You can do that with every scene. You say, hey, if the first... I don't know, 5 lines of this scene, mm-hmm. if without those, this still makes perfect sense, then lose those fucking lines.
Yeah, I mean, you do that with everything. That's just like when we write stand-up, you know.
Yeah.
If the setup mm-hmm. is too long, the joke sucks
the
balls.
First time you tell that joke, you're going to explain it way too much, and then eventually you're going to be like, oh, y'all all understood that just from...
One sentence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. from this sentence. Yeah.
So, getting back to the lecture at hand, AVX is wiggity-whack. Because A, it's trying to, the whole point of it was to get the mutants back. Second point of it was to make Scott Summers cool, which I guess they did by making him a supervillain who lives in a
that doesn't make him
now.
Cool.
You know what I mean? And like Joss Whedon made him cool. And
Joss Whedon made him cool. Yes.
Whedon makes
go back.
Cool.
You know what? Really all y'all, fuck AVX. Go back and read Joss Whedon's 24-issue Astonishing X-Men run.
Killer.
That's a very, very solid modern X-Men run.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That might be something I might do. I'm not a comic book person, but I love Joss Whedon. And I was a fan of the X-Men in the 90s.
I have not liked any of his other comics. I have not liked any of his other comic work.
Does he write for Buffy? Does he actually write for the Buffy comics?
Yeah.
And I enjoy
the
them.
Buffy comic is really hit and miss.
Why would I do that?
But
why would I
like,
read
like his Runaways was not good.
Oh, really? I heard it was bad.
Yeah, we've talked about his Runaways.
But
yeah, I just
his
think
Punisher
that,
was terrible.
Ugh.
Really?
He didn't write a Punisher book, but he had him pop into a book.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
He doesn't fucking get it. I mean, Punisher's not a chick who's being naked and fetishized and not kicking ass in some fake ass.
I also think Punisher's a little too, like, amoral for him.
I agree.
Joss Whedon doesn't write that sort of character, really.
Or not amoral.
And when he does, he usually does it pretty poorly, or he pussies him out.
Yeah.
Every villain he's ever had on any of his TV shows ends up being a pussy at some point.
It's not that Punisher is amoral.
Even Jane on Firefly, like, there was only 14 episodes, and he still kind of managed to make him a pussy.
It's that Punisher has a very specific set of morals that's completely different from Joss Whedon.
He can't wrap his head around.
He likes good guys. He likes good guys and sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he likes a little bit of death put into the right spot.
A man like me.
I just feel like when you're writing a character, you've got to take that character on their own merits. Like if I was going to write Superman, even though I wouldn't agree with the things that Superman was going to do necessarily, I would have to write what Superman was going to do.
You're supposed to write from the character.
I wouldn't write him throwing everybody into the sun by their back fat. Even if I thought it was the right thing to do, I'd have to say, you know what? Superman wouldn't do that. He'd do this. And he'd make mistakes, and he'd be wrong, and then it would fuck him up in the end. And I'd make it fuck him up in the end. I'd make his mistakes come back and bite him, so he has to ask himself the question at the end of the arc. Oh, what if I start killing people? That's how I'd end it.
Yeah.
I would write a 6-issue arc, and it would end with him going like, hey, how many people would still be alive if I had just killed that dude? And then just leave that. Drop the fucking mic.
My favorite Batman pitch that I ever pitched to myself was, what if somebody came along and killed every other Bat character? I'm talking about all the Robins.
All of them.
Like Dick Grayson gets crippled and super fucked up. He just barely survives because he's so dope. All the rest of them get out and out killed, including Barbara, all those fucks. All of them are dead. And the only other person that survives is the second Batgirl, second or third Batgirl.
Cassandra Cain.
Because she's a natural born killer. And when all the people came to get her, she would break the Bat rules, kill the shit out of them, survive, and then she would be able to go ahead and, you know, it's me. Sorry, my alarm went off. My rant alarm. Anyway, so Cassandra Cain would kill a bunch of motherfuckers.
That's time. Clee, you have 2 minutes to rebut.
subverting all of the Batman ethos, and she would drag herself to Batman, bloody and fucked up. Batman would be bloody and fucked up. They'd look at each other, and they'd be like, yo, we got super fucked. It's time to start getting real with these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? And I would love
Batman
to read that story.
Batman getting real by Ed Greer.
Dude, I would love to read that story. Him and a killer.
Yeah.
Him and a killer versus people who took out the whole Bat family. Yeah. That would be a story. Yeah. All the rest of this shit.
Oh, dude, him and the killer. Chow Yun Fat.
Him and Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
Him and Hard Boiled.
Batman and Hard Boiled. And then you just call that character Hard Boiled, even though it's not his name all the time. Batman, Hard Boiled. We need you.
And that's my Superman pitch for a what if Superman is. Because one of my beliefs about Superman's character is that it comes from him having been raised by his parents, like who were.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
They have shaped
Salt
everything,
of the earth.
All of his morals, all that stuff. So I think it would have been interesting, and I just used this as an example because you have to assume the Joker's parents sucked dick, right? I think we can go on a limb and say Joker's parents probably pretty shitty. And I was thinking, like, it would be bad if...
Well, not necessarily. Well, I mean, some kids have attachment disorder. Some kids are just born bad.
That's true. That's true, but that's pretty rare. My idea was just that he...
No, no, because the Joker is your common criminal.
Yeah, exactly. He's a normal guy, right? I mean, you know, he murders thousands.
Look, he puts his green pinstripe pants on one leg at a time.
Just right? Just like everybody else. But the idea would be that Superman falls and he has shitty parents. And whether it be
the
Joker's parents.
He does dress like Steve Harvey, though. I mean.
Right. Just like even like a rock that wouldn't, like for some reason, one rock was off, pinged the goddamn
right.
Ship.
Wasn't that sort of what
he lands 100 miles away
when he goes to when they
yeah that's that. What Red Sun is about.
Well, Red Sun's similar to that,
but it has a twist.
But the problem with my have with Red Sun is the same thing. It always I want it to end bad. I want it to end where every hero on Earth has to come together to fucking kill Superman, and because he's just not going to be a good guy, he just decides.
Yeah,
like you must have enjoyed my pilot.
Well, yeah. There's always this fake ass thing that they do with Elseworlds, which is another reason why I want to write an Elseworlds. Like, I'll put it out there, DC, you fucks. When I get famous enough, I'm coming for you. I'll write your two good characters, Superman and Batman. The rest of them can go eat a dick.
And I'll write what if.
Right.
I'll write what if on
my favorite comic of almost all time is What If the Punisher Got the Venom Symbiote.
Ooh.
It is the best fucking comic ever.
I've never
so
read that
good
one.
That they kind of did that with Eddie Brock being like a soldier. They're like, right. Hey, let's put that in there, whatever.
Well, yeah, with Flash Thompson, yeah.
Flash Thompson, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing because the thing was, not only was Punisher more imaginative than Spider-Man, he was able to literally make guns and shit out of the Venom symbiote. He made claws to rip people apart. He made wings to fly. He was so much more imaginative. His dark parts and his basically like him having his own Green Lantern ring.
Yeah.
And he was able to manipulate. It was so fucking sick. And he revealed Peter Parker's identity so Peter wouldn't fuck with him. And Peter went nuts because Aunt May got blown the fuck up. And he came out to Punisher, tried to kill him. It was amazing.
That's badass.
Awesome.
It was amazing.
Can we read Eric Barnes' comment?
Yeah, I want to read both of them. Eric Barnes put Batman and Detective Tequila would be badass. And then Eric Barnes said, now I'm imagining Steve Harvey dressed as a Joker on a Halloween episode of Family Feud with the pinstripe suit.
Dude, he's got that wide fucked up smile too. That's the thing. He is the most Joker
looking Steve Harvey, if you're
ever.
Listening, do that for the Halloween episode.
Oh,
I'm
God,
sure Steve Harvey is listening to this right now. I'm pretty sure it's the podcast he downloads every week.
Yeah, think like a man, act like a Joker.
Exactly.
Okay, so we gonna move on to this magic shit now?
Ow,
I think that's good. The main purpose of this entire episode.
Look, Ed. We said that this was gonna be an episode of Angry Dorks, but this is actually an intervention.
This is an intervention. Ed over here hates magic. I assume not just in comic books, right? You also hate it in literary form.
I hate it in every medium possible, except perhaps video games for some reason.
Ed is a non-magical Negro.
Yeah, exactly. In no way am I magical. Okay,
I've tried to convince him.
Well, to argue correctly, I have to know what is your specific hate on for magic.
Magic seems to me a device from weak storytellers, even more so than the fake science of comic books, because I will freely admit that the fake science of comic books is very much like magic. Unstable molecules make your pants not burn off when you're a human torch, make your uniform, you know, expand with your, you know, Mr. Fantastic, you know, all this sort of things. I get that. However, I just think it's weak, and I think that there's a lot of things missing in regards to the explanation of it. And when everybody explains their magic system, it's usually some douchatron shit. It's usually, to me, something where it's like, fuck. You got to say your spell, so that makes it not that bad. You know what I mean? That makes it not
okay,
that
okay, well, also, what books have you read?
See, he
I don't
hasn't read,
read
very many
books about magic.
That's why I think his argument
well, see,
is disingenuous.
And this becomes a problem, because if you've never read a fantasy book, it because I'm saying, like, the whole point of the books is that there happens to be magic in the world.
Yeah, I would say, like, probably the most accessible one that also provides the most explanation, it would be Harry Potter.
In the Harry Potter books, like, there is a scene when they're first detail. When they're first introduced to what's called the unforgivable curses. Mm-hmm. That's the killing curse, the torture curse, and the mind control curse. Mm-hmm. I feel like the huge ass explosion curse is just as bad as the killing curse, yeah. And that is just me. But they said these specifically, like, there's no good for them. Like, they can only they're only evil, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know, old rules. But the point is, they immediately try them. You know, like some kids are like, you know, oh, Crucio, you know. Like on this little spider that they've got as an example, and nothing fucking happens. Because just saying it doesn't do it. If it was just saying it, like, they could all learn, like, a shit ton of spells.
Right.
Like, obviously, Hermione would be the most powerful. I kind of think she is the most powerful.
She
but
is
still.
The most powerful.
Yeah. But yeah, if it was just learning the numbers, it was just one-to-one, if I learn that, then I can do this.
Right.
But it's exerting your will over the world, like the Green Lantern ring. Remember when...
which I also think sucks.
That's okay. Remember when Green Arrow got the Green Lantern ring?
Uh-huh.
And he, like, he tried his fucking best, and he made, like, one weak-ass little arrow come out mm-hmm. and hit Sinestro?
Yeah.
You remember that? Like, it's like... Oh, when you see that in the hands of somebody that doesn't know what they're fucking doing with it, you realize... Okay, there is a baseline level of this. There, like,
and when Batman got it, you ever see the
the yellow ring?
Yeah,
but I'm saying, like, there's a thing that we're used to seeing, but we only ever see it in the hands of somebody of great will, somebody that ring searched all over the fucking galaxy for, somebody that has that innate ability, and then they go fucking train on Oo for it, right? Mm-hmm. So just having the ring doesn't do that much good. There is an innate strength of a very specific kind that can access the power, the potential in this ring. It is a kind of technology.
So if you have enough midichlorians already, then it works.
No, it also means, but there's also more to it than that, because there is a part of Harry Potter in which he tries to, when in the heat of, in anger, in the heat of a moment, tries to use an unforgivable curse. And he just doesn't have it in him. He can't.
Because he's not that person.
Like, so you have to... So there are some spells and some curses and some charms and all that stuff. That you, there has the intention and the person that you are, even if it's just for that moment, has to be there. Because there is a moment, like, because some of the members of the Order of the Phoenix are able to use, like, the killing curse, for example. Like, when... Like, for, like, Molly Weasley, the mom of the Weasley clan, she goes in and for real tries to kill Bellatrix and I think succeeds.
No, she killed her.
Using the killing curse because she came after her kids.
I don't know. They didn't say what curse she used.
Because some people can do the curses without saying them. Saying them is like a way that helps you focus,
like,
whatever.
It's more like how Magneto gestures to make shit move.
Even though
he doesn't have to.
I mean, I get that. But the thing I don't like also is that even in...
It's not a Duck's machine. Like, it doesn't fix everything. Like, magic in...
Ooh, Eric put an interesting thing here. It says, out of mana equals out of web fluid. Field of protection equals force field. Out of key energy equals power suit battery died. In comic books, science and magic are mostly interchangeable.
I totally get that not quite correct assertion. but the thing is, at least they're trying to tell you where this comes from. I still don't, I don't agree that it's the same thing.
I'm going to tell you why magic is cool, but it's really simple. Because it's badass. That's why. It comes down to the fact that it's some shit you can't do. And that's the funnest part about this stuff.
Books that utilize magic have a set of rules behind it, and it's not, it doesn't solve every problem. And a lot, oftentimes it creates more problems than it solves.
And not only creates more problems, but creates a responsibility that it puts into
you. I think that doesn't exist in when you're reading a science fiction book or a superhero comic book or any of those things. Like maybe superheroes probably do, but when you read a lot of science fiction, a lot of that responsibility doesn't necessarily, like, those people tend to eschew the responsibility oftentimes. I'm just like, yeah, I have all this technology and I'm going to utilize it for good or ill, and really the consequences be damned.
Well, yeah, but like if you look at any real good science fiction movie, of course the science brings people down. Now, I think that shit is dumb too, though. Like at the end of Deep Blue Sea, right? They talk about
You mean at the beginning of Deep Blue Sea? When the sharks get smarter?
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. It's like, okay.
Bigger brains usually means like hydrocephalus. Like it doesn't help water babies to be like, you know, moving shit around with their minds and turn into like little Akira Tetsuos. Like, usually they just die real young.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Okay, let's say to solve Alzheimer's, we had to make 20 sharks smart. I'm sorry, that's way worth it, dumbass. If you look at the story, it's not like the fucking sharks swam up to the keypad, put a fucking, you know what I mean? Started using their pectoral fins to get the fuck out of jail.
Oh my God, that movie would have been amazing.
That's what they did in Jurassic Park, is it not?
Right. Oh my God, it is.
Dude, exactly. It's not like they fucking responsible.
Unless they can start opening doors.
A storm came, knocked out a helicopter, which crashed into the guard tower, which in turn knocked out the power and let them out of their pens. Dude, that was not them being smart. That was not them being smart at all. They could have totally kept those dudes in captivity, gotten the fucking research done, helped a bunch of people not have fucking Alzheimer's, and saved the fucking world from a horrible disease. And at the end of it, the bitch is saying, oh yeah, we were just trying to help the world. And somebody says, you stupid bitch, and smacks her. That's some straight Bible thumper bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
I don't remember Bible? The part
Eric,
where they
Eric Barnes just pointed out, of all the movies for additive... to defend his views, he picked a Deep Blue Sea.
Hey, man, don't fuck with my Deep Blue Sea.
No, I'm just saying that in that movie, it shows you that there is an anti-science bias in almost every story, even science fiction.
That's
stories.
True.
So, yes, especially in science fiction. Yeah, especially in like 50s, 60s science fiction.
In science
huge
fiction,
anti-science bias.
So
we should never have used radiation.
Right.
Well, there's the push-button age and everybody was scared of the future.
There's so many consequences to science fiction, so I will not brook that. That's a total straw man. There's a billion consequences to science fiction powers, just like there's a billion consequences to
I completely
to magic.
Agree. Well, and here's the thing that this is what I actually like to use Lord of the Rings because I think it's the oldest, it is pretty much one of the first fantasy books of all time. Mm-hmm. Besides the Bible. I had to pull that one
you
out.
You're going to hell.
Oh, shit. One of my favorite parts is when he says you will not pass in the movie, although in the book he just pretty much decides to do that. But he you will not pass, and he knows
the movie interpretation.
He knows he's gonna die.
The movie's just better in general.
Yeah,
than the books. Mm. The Lord of the Rings.
No, there's no Tom Bombadil. Therefore,
those
the movies
books
in
are so dry.
Although Tom Bombadil
those
is actually
books are
a character
so dry.
That
the movies
that Ed
are
would
really
hate.
Fun and entertaining.
Oh, Ed would hate Tom Bombadil.
I certainly would. That circle talking douchebag from the woods who picks up fucking 100 pages for nothing.
Tom
I would
Bombadil
fucking
is awesome.
Hate
but he's funny.
That.
He's so adorable.
Oh, I would despise that.
I love Tom Bombadil.
So do I.
But anyway,
but the thing that's cool about it is even though he doesn't die, but he thinks he's going to die. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care.
Tom Bombadil is like the Q of Lord of the Rings. That's why you like it.
That's what I've heard.
I love Q.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
That's what
although
I've heard.
He doesn't, well, that's what's so fun about him. It's like, yeah, I could go bitch slap Sauron, but
okay,
what's
this example about?
The cool part about magic, and I think it's the cool, and is there was limits, because that's one of the things that seems like you dislike, is that it seems like Doctor Strange could just snap his fingers and fix some shit. But that's, with really good books, which you should start reading. I don't know what the fuck.
Blag. Okay, but here's
first
the thing.
First off, Ed Greer is one of the smartest people I know.
No,
I'm not going to pretend that he's not.
But he does refuse.
But he hates reading.
No, I hate reading a bunch of douchebaggery about sim salabim.
None of it's sim salabim.
But see, you're making
it's
these assumptions
people...
based on your preconceived notions without it's, having read them.
No, but it's not even
if you had
about
read Harry
that.
Potter and been like, fuck that thing sucks, then I would agree with
I
your
probably
point
would. I was entranced by homegirl's writing style. That bitch could write a technical manual and I'll read it.
Well, not the first book.
Oh,
she got better over a few thousand.
I liked the first book.
I read the first book, the only reason why I continue to read.
The first book is poorly written.
I think a billion-dollar phenomenon.
I think if I was 10 years old, that book would be my favorite book.
Like Robert Kirkman. Story very good, writing not so good. Go back and read it.
I read the first four pages and was so entranced, I threw the fucking thing into a fireplace because I did not want to be part of this fucking Borg-like union.
It's like crack.
See, I resisted reading it for a long time. I didn't read the first book until I think 2004, which is a long time for me to wait to read a book like that, given that it came out in like 99.
But I'm not saying that there aren't limits on magic. There's limits on every single fictional concept. But there is a way to do it where it seems like it's part of science or a part of science that we don't understand yet.
Well, that's what I love about Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Both of them sort of take it from that point of view.
Well, and actually, even though it's a little bit... Mercedes Lackey is another author. This is the only... These are things that only I and like eight other fucking nerds read. She has like a rule to her where there's mages and they all have like... They almost have channels, like mental channels with them that allow right. them to do specific things.
Right.
And your power is literally limited by the talent inside of those things. And they're usually passed on.
Yeah,
by
this
family,
book that
Rich's
wife lent me is kind of similar in its way that it explains magic. It's called Night Circus. Awesome ass book. I recommend
you
to read it.
That's right. I'm going to be reading that soon.
Yeah.
But that's another thing.
And it's like everybody's. I forgot the chick's name.
But that's another thing. That is one other gripe about magic. So often, the only science fiction thing I've ever seen that was cool and had this dumb shit in it, there's two of them. Star Wars, technically science fiction, even though it's very fantasy based, and I'll get to that. But and The Matrix. This whole concept of you're the one, you have it inside you already, you're limited and or empowered by stuff that's inside you that you didn't earn. That is fucking rampant in magic, and it sucks dick.
Okay. Well, it is okay. To a point.
It's fucking awful.
I think it's just based on it that those things are just a gift.
Right.
It's the same thing like your ability to draw. You didn't earn that. You were born with it.
Incorrect. I have worked hours and hours drawing pictures.
Yeah, you
got
hours and hours getting better at it.
I could draw for days on days, and I would still suck at drawing.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm just not good at it.
You had an innate ability to draw, and you worked to get better at it, but you were already born with an innate ability to draw.
If nothing else, you had an innate ability to learn to draw that other people don't have.
The only natural ability I think I have is being funny.
You're naturally funny, but if you didn't practice and you didn't go up and do jokes all the time, you would suck. And it's the same thing with these mages. If they don't fucking practice magic, they're useless. And people who are good at it and have less power will whip their fucking ass.
But what about the muggles who would practice all fucking day and don't have it?
Because they don't have the innate ability. That goes to prove the point.
Batman had an innate ability. He's still a white man, and he made himself into the best athlete in the world.
But he probably already had an innate ability to be athletic. If his parents hadn't gotten killed in that alley, he would still be fucking climbing
mountains. Right, he probably did a lot of dressage.
Also, how tall is Batman?
He'd probably be an MMA fighter.
He's about 6'2".
6'2"?
Yeah.
You know how tall I am? 5'7".
Me too.
And you know what? Okay, I'll never be as tough as Batman. Even if I got the same training and same shit, Batman still whooped my ass.
If he wasn't Batman, he'd be fighting in the UFC.
At least genetics are science based.
Okay.
There's some magic that gives you natural abilities.
Because magical ability within the Harry Potter world is genetic.
Yeah.
That ruins fucking magic, i.e.
So it's only good if it's a Batman, but it's not good if your name is Hermione Granger.
And Star Wars ruined the whole shit. Because Star Wars, literally, the Force was the two best applications of magic I have ever read. One in Star Wars, because honestly, the Force is fucking magic. It is taking on the power of the universe to do a bunch of shit, and then the midichlorians ruin that shit by taking the magic away from it. Mm-hmm. And in Planetary... there is a character called the Drummer.
Drummer Boy!
Yeah, and the Drummer can see electronic spectrums, electromagnetic spectrums. He can talk to machines. He can manipulate machines. He can manipulate information out of the air. He can do all that stuff, and he can literally see magic. And now he explains magic. It's the coolest explanation of magic ever. He said it's just like a video game. Magic are the cheat codes for the world. Ooh. If you want to countermand any sort of physics, if you want to countermand anything, you use the cheat codes. Magic is science-based. It's the cheat codes for the physics of the world. That is the shit. And if I ever saw something that really put that forth in a cool way, I might enjoy it, sorta.
Sweet. Okay.
Read what Eric Barnes had to say. I like his.
Oh, yeah. Eric wanted to know, I'd love to hear Ed's thoughts on the following magic-like comic books. Constantine, Swamp Thing, Fables, and Sandman.
I know you love Constantine.
No, I don't. Constantine is whack because it's a douche in a trench coat walking around doing spellifications and shit, trying to be hard-boiled. You're not hard-boiled when you have magic to save you all the time.
But I smoke a lot of cigarettes.
I smoke a lot of cigarettes and I talk to demons.
I tell angels to fuck off. I'm badass.
Yeah, take your wings, put them up your arse.
The Keanu Reeves voice.
Yeah, I just well, dude.
Well,
you're like,
look,
an angel.
Look,
like
you Satan. I'm just gonna do a spell.
Oh my god!
And shove my thumb up your ass and then light a cigarette
and then be fast talking Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, so fuck that guy. The only magic that I like in any medium in regards to comic books, I don't like Doctor Strange because he's a fucking douche. I want to kick him in the face every time he shows up in a story. It's the most boring shit ever.
Also, he doesn't do a lot.
He floats
He's
around.
He's like, I'm too powerful. I'm just going to watch shit.
Yeah, he floats around like a dude. Fuck that guy.
What about his manservant Wong?
Exactly. He plays with his big Wong, and he just doesn't do anything.
Also has an Asian manservant as a white dude. What a douche.
I know.
It's the 60s. That's what they did in the
60s. I know.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. The
everybody had a Bruce Lee in the closet.
Like, you ever watch the movie Auntie Mame? She's got an Asian manservant.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Secret Asian man.
Who stays with her even when she goes broke. We watched Auntie Mame. The dude, her servants stay with her even though she's broke. It was on some Patriot by Mel Gibson shit when he had those slaves that kicked it with him for no reason.
No, I let them all go. Yeah, yeah, because they changed it from that real character that they based it on, Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox, fucking raped his slaves.
Yeah,
he was a very good soldier and a very bad man, and they can't put that into a movie, which... That would have been the shit if they had made that movie.
Especially with Mel Gibson
he was a fucking asshole.
His inner raper.
No, no, I love seeing that. I love seeing that in a movie. I love seeing where somebody is like, "Hey, this person is the lesser of the two evils. This person is doing good for."
Here's the thing. In comic books, the coolest thing of magic is the character Magic. She's Ilyana Rasputin. She's fucking Colossus's sister. She spends time in an extra-dimensional place.
Limbo.
Called Limbo, with different physics rules that she mastered when she got sent over there. As her mutant power is to fucking teleport, and her discipline in regards to magic she learned by being trapped for like years of time, like from since she was like 8 years
old. She had to survive.
Which they totally ripped off with Connor and Angel.
Yeah, exactly. So she went and she learned the physics of another dimension, the science of that dimension, and came over here, and it is magic to us because we do not understand it. That makes sense to me.
Well, you do realize that there are actually books that have magic like that, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't read magic books, man.
But you should. They're fun.
Okay.
No.
And they tell real life stories and interesting characters while just having cool magic shit happen.
Yeah, and he's like the best ones, you're okay.
Exactly like somebody that says, "Oh, I don't read superhero stuff. It doesn't make sense for them to be able to do that. Those things."
Mandy said, "You don't like Doctor Strange because he's a douche, but like magic, even though." She's also a jerk face.
She is. She's a total bitch.
Magic
but to be fair, Limbo sounds boring as fuck.
Well, yeah, but Limbo is just crawling with demons who are afraid of iron, so there's no weapons. You know, right. There's just all sorts of shit. But this is the thing. At least in comic books, I understand that it's about suspension of disbelief. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things that you get. There are fucking asshole people out there who will literally watch Mel Gibson karate fight six niggas in a fucking bar and come out on top, but they can't believe in Superman. Superman is a lot more
likely. By the way, the original ending to What Women Want was really weird.
I'm just saying, like, they'll believe that Riggs can run down a highway and catch a fucking speeding station wagon that's going 65 miles an hour. They'll believe that, but they won't believe Batman. And I call bullshit on those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So I could see people saying that about me. But the thing is, there are so many people who will willfully suspend disbelief for different crap that isn't superhero and isn't magic.
Well, and so if you were not reading fantasy books, this is a hard argument because fantasy books live in a different physical world, like a different mm-hmm. world with physics well,
that,
laws.
That's one thing. But let's talk about fantasy. You know what? I don't know that my beef is so much with magic itself as with fantasy. I really despise this notion that there's a bunch of worlds that all have elves. Fucking elf. Why don't you come up with a new creature to be in the woods? You know what I mean? Why doesn't every book not have orcs, not have elves, not have dwarves?
Well, a lot of them don't.
I know, but why do so many of them have them? This is like, even in superhero stuff, there are worlds where nobody flies.
Well, because there's
worlds where nobody has energy projection. They just
yeah,
have
they call those
skills.
The TV superheroes.
It was imitation. It was imitation, really, when it comes down to it, because yeah, Tolkien was the first one. Sort
but that's
of
what I'm saying. That sort of super vicious imitation is what limits other comic books. Like, I was reading a comic book, I won't name it, but it had some asshole generic flying guy, some asshole generic bullet guy, some asshole generic guy with a shield. And I'm like, why the fuck did you make this? You're making an inferior version of something else.
Yeah.
Do like Warren Ellis does. When Warren Ellis talks about the superhuman abilities or whatever, he'll make a guy who looks like Krishna, who takes over a world and smashes it. He'll make, you know, all these different things. And even when he does do the, oh, here's a generic version of Batman, a generic version of Superman.
He twists it in a way that's really good.
The Batman and Superman of his world are fucking gay and fuck each other every night.
Oh, God, I love that book so much.
You know what
I'm saying? Authority.
Yeah.
If you haven't read The Authority, go fucking read it.
And the best magic person I've ever seen in comic books is the Doctor. Because the Doctor, it is so... I understand there's fantasy books like this, but in my purview of things that I've seen, the Doctor gets so physically taxed from doing magic, and he can get taken out very easily after he does a big job. And he's also addicted to heroin. And he also has to go to an extra-dimensional place and talk to the doctors of the past and get knowledge from them on how to do spells and shit. But there's always these limits that I understand are in books. But like I said, I think my beef is more with fantasy than with magic.
Right.
I think we've sussed it out because I hate fantasy books.
I definitely want to get this.
I love
this.
Fantasy books. It's literally my favorite thing to do.
I want to get
I'm currently reading
out.
Two fantasy books on top of reading a Star Wars book.
I wish I could read that much.
Probably the only fantasy books I've ever really read are the Lord of the Rings, of which I've read every single one, including like the Cimmerillion.
Well, you read Harry Potter. Those are fantasy books.
Yeah, and Harry Potter. Yeah,
I've read.
Those are so pop culture that you don't even think of them as fantasy books.
I would say like
books.
More of
you know
traditional
what? Twilight's fantasy books too.
I don't read that bullshit. Though.
I'm just saying.
I tried reading it. It was badly
yes,
written.
It's very
oh,
badly
dude,
written.
She tortures sentences like Abu Ghraib prisoners.
All right. This is what I want to make sure we get in before this all ends.
Okay.
I only came in here with one argument. Everything else has just been discussing with you. Because I know you, I know a little bit about you, I assumed this and I wanted to wait a little while and hear you out, and my opinion has not been changed.
Okay.
You don't hate magic. You hate injustice. Injustice is so incongruous with what you believe the world should be that it makes you insane. You obsess about it. So when you think of the idea of this guy can do these magical things that defy the laws of fucking physics and this other guy can't, that's bullshit. And if this other guy can't ever measure up to that, that's complete bullshit. There has to be some way of maybe this guy didn't measure up because he didn't do the thing, whatever. Mm. But the fact that he can't possibly... That's bullshit, and you shouldn't put something like that into a story. It's the question of, okay, well, this guy's an alien. He's from a different world, so Superman, okay, I kind of get. But the whole thing with Batman is he trained and trained and trained and trained. You know, guy he fights in you know, in the alley could have been Batman if he had had the right circumstances and trained and trained and trained and trained. He could have been, like, you know, mm-hmm. at least like some approximation of it. Maybe he could have been Nightwing or something. You know, maybe not
no,
Batman.
Think,
he could have been Red Robin.
I think you've hit the nail.
But,
so it is Filch. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that bugs the shit out of you. And the problem is, there's no point in us making the argument that the other superhero worlds that you read have that shit in them. Mm-hmm. The basic sad fact is that the real world has that shit in it.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are just never going to have what other people have.
Yeah, like most people just aren't going to be as smart as me.
Yeah, and he's never going to be as tall as they are.
Exactly. Or have as big a dick.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, no, I mean,
no one's ever going to be as pretty as Clee.
I think that's very cute. I think, honestly, you've hit the nail sort of on the head, but here's the deal. In superhero worlds, they make it very clear that certain street level heroes can reach the level of these gods with training and with other applications that they can pull out. In these magic fuck planets, There isn't a regular person who can go, hey, you know what, Magic Boy? I know how to counterman that. I'll fucking, like, that's the one thing that was so dope about when Deathstroke takes out fucking Zatanna in the fucking Identity
Fuck
Crisis.
Fuck yes, Identity Crisis.
She's trying to do her spell. She's trying to say her spell. He punches her in the stomach, makes her vomit and fill up her mouth so she
right,
can't
he hits her in the exact right organ.
So if mm-hmm. somebody created a world where, honestly, a just regular guy could fuck up, who could literally hunt magicians, or rather hunt wizards, I suppose, and I do understand that's probably been done a little bit and stuff, but
it's
like,
been done a lot. But yeah. People don't read. I've read thousands of fantasy books. That's mm-hmm. the difference. So everything you've talked about has already happened. You just haven't read it.
Well, yeah, the problem is you'd have to wade through all of that shit to get to the ones that are really well written.
That's true. I've read some shitty fantasy books.
I imagine you are smart enough that you can just take for given that there are some well-written ones out there that you would accept.
Oh, yeah. But there's no point,
the huge sea of fantasy novels or fantasy works is so rife with this problem that you're talking about that there's no point in waiting into this
whole notion of everybody being so inured from them reading them as children. When people try to explain The Lord of the Rings to me, I get physically fucking angry because everything they like about it is something that a fucking 8-year-old would like. And it just, I'll admit that to you, because 14.
Part of what I enjoy is just people being badasses. Like, honestly, some of the times I'll read these books and it'll just be like, oh, these guys are badasses. And I really enjoy badasses.
And I also like the thing of comic books where, yes, every comic book character has fantastic powers. But for the most part, everything stems from them having one power.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like, Peter Parker being smart is so much more important than him being able to do spider shit.
Yeah, because his spider shit is actually weak compared to a lot of the guys he fights.
In fact, most of his spider shit, I mean, really, that came from him. I mean, like, the webs are one of the most important things. That's the chief weapon in his arsenal.
The webs, the spider sense. Like, fucking Miles Morales in the Ultimates universe has had spider sense for, like, 12 issues. He just figured out what the fuck it was. He's like, boy, my head hurts. I wonder what... Oh, shit, I got punched. You know what I mean? He just figured out. Spider-Man knew on some level what it was and figured out how to use it a lot quicker than Miles Morales.
Can we read this final comment from Eric Barnes about he's saying you read it.
Ed, many fantasy tales are regular guys taking out magical beings.
Yeah,
it happens a lot.
They need to all be about that.
Well, and especially because with most magical beings there's rules, like, you know, like it takes a certain amount of time to fire. They still can die if you stab them with a sword.
Perfect fantasy thing for me: a guy who got wronged by some wizards and he went and killed all of them. I would read the positive shit out of that book. I would read all the sequels where he went to another dimension and killed all of their wizards and so on and so forth. Oh, God, I would love that. I would love it. So write that book. I'll read the shit out of it.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like when when white dudes justify getting jumped by Mexicans and hating Mexicans. So good job. Yeah. Good job.
I got jumped by magic.
And you've got to have at least one scene in there. One scene in there where he's in Oz and it's like, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. He just like shoves a sword through the curtain.
Great and powerful, my ass. Well, yeah, I think
Van Helsing, Warlock Hunter.
Okay.
Even with vampires and stuff, I like the scientific versions of them. I just like, please act like you're doing science and you get over on me. I know Spider-Man isn't scientific. I know Mr. Fantastic isn't scientific, but just try.
I don't like for magic things to say that they're science, to say, oh, this is just science we haven't figured out. I just like for them to be consistent, for them to set down the rules and follow the rules.
They have
rules
to stick to the rules. I agree.
Yeah.
All right, do we have anything to plug as we're running out of time?
Listen to my podcast. What were we talking about? The most recent one that just dropped is Ed Greer, the man. We're talking about the Punisher.
Yeah, we got
a street level hero who is very interesting because he has no powers.
We're going to be at Long Beach Comic Con.
Yep.
On Sunday the 4th or the 5th?
The 4th and the 5th, yeah.
Something like that. We'll get more on that. We love all of you guys.
At Ed Greer Destroys, at Matt Blackwood,
Dorky Swallow. Angry Dorks.
Thanks,
Monday.
Guys.
Bye.
Boom.
All right. That was fun. Watch the X-ray rise.
Yo, now, why you being a player hater?